It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Well. Welcome. We are back in action, coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. That's us. We're still number one in the rankings, not really playing championship ball. But we are broadcasting, as we always do, from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is a big Wednesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not get indicted again yesterday. No, ma'am, Donald Trump did.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
A lot of people are, and we're going to dive inside it with a couple of them. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen joining us today, and retired NYPD Inspector Paul Morrow, who is going to bring us inside the shenanigans of this latest round of indictments.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
We don't know, but we're going to figure it out at 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the show. Also, the phone number if you don't want to be a part of the show. You just want to get on the air and tell us why.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
I could take it. I'm into the tough love. I normally pay for that on Craigslist. So just, you know, bring it along. We're fine with it.
This is absolutely gross.
Well, even if you don't feel that way, the phone lines will be open. 888-788-9910. You know the deal. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, be a Libertarian, be an Independent. Just don't be a... There it is. Happy Wednesday. If you watched me last night on Gutfeld with our lovable comedy dwarf, Greg Gutfeld, we had a great time. It was absolutely outstanding. Shout out to Tyrus, Kat Timpf, and KT McFarland. You had to have some type of a T in your name. This, of course, plays off Greg being a toddler. But we were there having a good time. We will post the clips, some of which are already appearing on FoxAcrossAmerica.com, where you will also see this morning's appearance on Fox and Friends. They actually had me on a live outdoor set surrounded by food from the melting pot.
This could be a problem.
And that wasn't, though. They put the shock collar on me, so I didn't go for the pastries while I was talking to Kilmeade. Ah, yeah, that whole thing. They brought out the guy that follows me around the studio.
Put that cookie down now!
Silly. But I'm in jest. I'm in good spirits, mainly because we're about to dive into something with a lot of gravity. And one of the points I make a lot on talk radio is a point that was made to me by Ari Fleischer. Ari Fleischer was a former White House press secretary who was aboard Air Force One on September 11th, 2001, when it was the only plane in the sky. Think about that. Actually the only plane flying over America at one point was the one he was on. And I'll never forget when I was interviewing him and I said, wow, that had to be intense with people like freaking out. And he was like, it was Jimmy. He was like, it was the complete opposite. He's like, everybody had such an overwhelming sense of calm because the gravity of what we were being tasked with left no margin for error, left no room for the indulgence of excitement or emotion. We were just focused. And I've always found, you know, based on what I deduced from talking to him, that the best decisions are made when you're calm. You don't make decisions or smart decisions when you're operating from a place of emotion. So when it comes to heavy stuff, politically divisive stuff, I usually do try to lighten the mood. You know how I say the world's on fire when we're roasting radio marshmallows? This is absolutely one of those days because what happened yesterday is we really descended into Banana Republic territory. I know we've been using that analogy a lot, but understand, we had never indicted a president in the 246 years history of the country. That's how old America was the first time we indicted Donald Trump. Okay, America just recently had a birthday. A little over a month ago, it was the 4th of July. We celebrated. They had the big fireworks at the White House.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. Biden was there. We have videos of it and everything. But the point is we're now 247, and we've indicted a president two more times, and we may just indict a president again in regards to Georgia.
What the hell? Hell is the world coming to?
I don't know about the world, but in terms of America, its credibility is really in jeopardy right now. And I start there, not because we are breaking precedent and indicting a president, but because the timing of how we're doing this is so brazenly political. Understand, January 6th indictments do not come with new information we didn't have 2 years ago. Okay, understand, they impeached him over January 6th when he left office. Nothing became of it. Okay, they then spent last summer in a made-for-TV January 6th special committee headed by Liz Cheney, produced for primetime by an ABC producer to give it maximum effect.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Especially the parts where they got caught ratcheting up the audio in post-production to give it a bigger impact. I mean, that was crazy, but they were trying to use it to manipulate public sentiment running up to the midterms. Okay, now they're bringing it back a third time. Do we have any new information?
The answer would be no.
Meaning if they wanted to indict him for January 6th, they could have indicted him a year ago.
Bingo.
Okay, but they're indicting him now because we've got an election coming up. And if you've looked over at Joe Biden's poll numbers...
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Really desperate. Here is Jack Smith. Okay, he is the prosecutor, special counsel over at the DOJ, making the announcement. I'm going to walk you through his claims as well as those by Merrick Garland. And I'm going to explain why this is, it's straight up a clown show. It's a bad look for the president. It's a bad look for the country. It's a bad look for the DOJ. And it's just one of those days where if you really care about the country, you have to take a step back and ask yourself if we're doing this wrong. The answer is yes, we are. Okay, we're doing this wrong. Half the country is fine with what they're doing to Trump, because it helps them politically. They hate Trump. It's New York, especially where I live, is just loaded with white liberals who hate Trump, so they don't have to look inward at things they hate about themselves.
That's true. That is true.
That's pretty much the MSNBC's entire broadcast demo. It's self-hating white people who just turn on the TV to be told everyone else is a garbage racist, white supremacist, misogynist, transphobe. And they process that as like some type of coping mechanism towards their own dissatisfaction with themselves. And then when Joe and Minka are done, they walk upstairs, stick their head in the bathtub and scream. Ah! Here's Jack Smith giving him a little chicken soup for the self-hating soul. Clip one.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The indictment was issued by a grand jury of citizens here in the District of Columbia, and it sets forth the crimes charged in detail.
Ugh.
Thank you for the education, gentlemen. We've just received a PhD in stupidity.
So Donald Trump, okay, we're being told, okay, was trying to defraud the United States citizens. Okay, that's what we were being told. Now, why is he defrauding the United States citizens? Because he claimed the election was stolen. To be clear, he absolutely claimed the election was stolen. But he wouldn't be the first person to do that.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Do you agree that Donald Trump is, in effect, not a legitimate president?
I think that there's no question that the process that elected him was not legitimate.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
So I guess we have some issues.
No issues, okay? If you are denying the results of an election as a Democrat, you know, you're just... I don't know. It's just politics. I don't know what to tell you. The Democrats challenged the certification of the electoral vote the last three times they lost a national election. They challenged the vote certification in 2016 in the Electoral College. They challenged it when John Kerry lost to George W. Bush. They challenged it when Al Gore lost to George W. Bush. So you understand there is a precedent for the Democrats challenging the results of an election. So when they turn around and say, oh, Trump's saying it's stolen.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Okay, not only have the Democrats gone out of their way to call elections stolen and not gotten charged, but they've gone out of their way to say the voting machines were hacked and not gotten sued.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates Cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines, right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
Workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know that hackathon that took place last year, where virtually every machine was broken into fairly quickly.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines, those that are being used in many states.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
I mean, that's Kamala Harris, sitting vice president of the United States, saying our voting machines are so hackable, we did a demo in the office. Just to show everybody how hackable they are.
You are so full of sh**.
Of course she's lying, but do you understand the double standard that's in place here? The Democrats said 2016 was stolen. The Democrats said the voting machines were hacked in 2016 and 2018. Did we get a special counsel and start locking them up?
The answer would be no.
The distinction they're trying to draw here is January 6th. Well, people got rowdy on January 6th. You're damn right they did. Okay, but the Democrats are trying to reframe it as a white supremacist attempt to overthrow the government. Dude, we weren't about to be ruled by the guy in the Chewbacca bikini. Okay, yes, they were protesting. Yes, they got out of hand. Yes, there were probably a few dozen feds egging them on, but the fact remains you can't be inside the Capitol doing what people were doing on January 6th. Does that mean it is the responsibility of Donald Trump?
The answer would be no.
No. Okay, but that's the distinction they're trying to draw. Yeah, the Democrats said the election was stolen just like the Republicans. Yeah, the Democrats didn't trust the voting machines. But the Democrats didn't go out and get violent in the aftermath.
That is a fact check false.
Dude, do you know how much violence we saw as a response to Trump's election? They lit the inaugural parade route on fire. Does anybody remember that? Are we just memory-holing that? Does anybody remember the summer of 2020 when we did $10 billion worth of property damage, 42 people died, we burnt down 100 black-owned businesses in the name of social progress? Okay, that's insanity. But nobody cared. Nobody got prosecuted. Okay? Nobody said, hey, Kamala Harris, you're going to jail for tweeting out a link that encouraged people to bail out violent protesters. Nobody locked up any of the Democrats who said, you know, keep punching, stay in the streets like Maxine Waters did. Because you understand this really isn't about progress. It's about power. It's not about the cause. It's about the control. Okay, if what Donald Trump did in regards to January 6th was such a heinous criminal act, do you know when they would have arrested Donald Trump for January 6th? On January 7th. Maybe not the 6th, because tensions were still running a little high. But by the 7th, they would have been like, well, we've never done this before. But here we are. But the truth is they didn't do it then because they still had some type of grounding in precedent, in protecting the integrity of the nation, and in maintaining faith in our justice system. After what we saw yesterday, there's no way to do any of that.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
He's the most talented man on the radio, but he needs your help.
We all know somewhere underneath all of that bright color, there's a man who's not right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Donald Trump's presidency is over. But for millions of Americans who devoted their entire lives to bashing him, the battle is just getting started.
My car won't start. Friggin' Trump.
The Ex-President Hotline helps you find a way to move on with your life.
The Ex-President Hotline.
He's destroying this country and he deserves to be in jail.
He's not in office anymore, ma'am. Take a deep breath.
Don't mansplain to me.
Hating a president is a good way to avoid your own problems. Unfortunately, presidents go away, but your problems don't.
Where's the tow truck? Probably stuck in traffic because of Trump.
The Ex-President Hotline, giving millions of Americans an outlet they can vote for.
Thank you for holding. I understand you're calling because you're still upset about Barack Obama.
I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. They are calling the ex-president complaint line yet again. Why are they doing this, Jimmy? That's what you want to know. I think Dana Bash over at CNN summed it up the best yesterday when she cited the most recent poll numbers. Now, I know she wasn't trying to make the case for why they're indicting Trump, but understand what she's about to tell you in this clip is why they're indicting Trump. Clip 10.
A New York Times poll confirms the current political reality. Donald Trump can win a rematch with Joe Biden. The top line number, Mr. Biden, 43%. Mr. Trump, 43%. The deadlock raises questions about a Biden general election advantage and the impact of indictments on the former president's standing with voters in a potential general election. The poll finds both men are unpopular with American voters. Only 41% hold a favorable opinion of the former president. Only 39% currently approve of Joe Biden's job performance. The poll does show modest improvements for Mr. Biden on key metrics compared with a year ago.
So you understand what's going on there? Okay, the Democrats looked around at 2024. He's running. Biden wants to run. And he's telling anybody that'll listen, he's going to beat Teddy Roosevelt.
Biden's lost his marbles.
But the dude wants to run. The Democrats are looking at his poll numbers. They're looking at Kamala's poll numbers, and they're like,
no.
So don't think for a second that this isn't influencing what's going on at our DOJ. And we know this. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt, not even for a second, after what you saw them see in the run-up to the 2020 election. Yo, the DOJ interfered in the 2020 election, straight up. The FBI ascertained that Hunter Biden's laptop was real in 2019. Okay, in 2020, they allowed everyone in the media to blacklist it, including 53 former intelligence officials who wrote a letter saying it was Russian disinformation.
That's not right.
Okay, but you understand, that's them intentionally helping the Democratic Party weeks away from an election. Now they're back going after the guy who's not only winning in the polls, but I got to be honest with you, he's mopping the floor with Ron DeSantis. I did not expect this to be the case. I expected Trump to have a lead. I expected DeSantis, with all the money he spent and all the success he's had in Florida, I expected DeSantis to be within, 10 points.
Wrong.
Dude, he's losing by 40. And after one bogus indictment that came here in New York from Alvin Bragg, nothing went on. Okay, Trump's poll numbers got bigger. So then they trotted out the Mar-a-Lago indictment. Did that help the situation?
The answer would be no.
No. So here we go again, refusing to quit while they're behind. They're coming back with another indictment. I don't doubt there's another one to follow. These have turned into Fast and the Furious movies, and everybody should be pissed.
You've got to get mad.
It's America's Life Coach. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Back in action on a Wednesday episode of Fox Across America. Yes, Donald Trump getting indicted. Third time now, they're putting out a box set. You don't have to see indictments one and two to know what's going on in indictment three. You can just get like the director's cut at the end. But here is Alan Dershowitz. He's on with Hannity last night. I will be on with Hannity tomorrow night, live audience show. And if you watch a show, if you watch Dershowitz on the regular, you understand Dershowitz is not a guy who votes for Trump. Dershowitz is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal who is, to his credit, okay, an old school liberal. Remember the liberals that prioritized like freedom of speech? Yeah, that's not going on in the Democratic Party now. It's a party of weaponized censorship. But Dershowitz caught a lot of hell up in Martha's Vineyard where he hangs out. Why? Because he defended Trump in his first impeachment. And he defended him. Why? Because he thought it was ridiculous. He thought it was a misuse of our judicial system. He thought it watered down the act of impeachment. And he thought it set the stage for a lot of retaliatory impeachments like the one we might see with Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Now, to be clear, there's a lot more evidence of Biden wrongdoing in Ukraine than there was of Trump wrongdoing anywhere. But Dershowitz stood up, not for Trump the candidate, did not vote for him in either election, did not do it. Okay, but understand, when it comes to the rule of law, Dershowitz is always standing his ground. And as he said last night on Hannity, there's just nothing in this indictment that would make anybody think it's worth pursuing, especially when you consider it's against a president of the United States. You understand, if we've never done this in the history of our country, precedents matter in the legal field. And when you go and erode those precedents, there has to be a damn good reason for doing so. In this instance, it doesn't seem like there is one, not to any objective observer. Here's Alan Dershowitz, clip 8.
Now, I read the indictment very carefully. There is no smoking gun. There is no one who is credibly prepared to testify that Donald Trump said to him, "I know personally I lost the election." There's a lot of evidence that people told him he lost the election, but you know Donald Trump. And you know that he's going to make up his own mind. And they're going to have a very hard time proving that. Now, it's the District of Columbia. 90-some-odd percent of the jury pool will have voted against him. So they may actually get a conviction from a D.C. jury. But will it survive appellate review and review to the Supreme Court? I do not think so.
So what is he basically saying there? Okay, you could go through the trouble of doing this. You could even win a conviction. But you're not going to get this to stand if this is real due process. Now, this matters. Why? Not because Dershowitz is saying it as a brilliant legal mind, but because the people who are bringing this case know it too. They know it too. So what does that mean? It means they're not putting Trump on trial to convict him in a court of law. They're putting him on trial to convict him in the court of public opinion.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
It's like the Mueller probe. The Mueller probe wasn't designed to find collusion. They knew he didn't collude, okay? They knew the Russian collusion narrative was opposition research from a political opponent.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Okay, the Steele dossier was oppo research. They knew going into Mueller that they weren't going to find collusion because it wasn't there. They knew that. But they gaslit the public anyway. Why? Because the process was the punishment. They were trying to undermine his presidency in hopes of getting him to self-destruct in a death by a thousand cuts scenario where he'd get so sick of the anonymously sourced bombshells and one leak after another. CNN tells you the walls are closing in.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
But they were selling it every day under the hopes that Trump would eventually self-destruct, fire Robert Mueller, and create the perception that there was a there.
He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, no, look, he fired Mueller. It's because he was about to find the collusion. It was everywhere. They were going to find the collusion. The guy was in big trouble, so he fired Mueller. That's what he did.
He should be behind bars.
And that's what they would have said. And they would have been happy throwing him in jail with no proof of the collusion they themselves had alleged. That's who these people are. So understand, if they will bring a fraudulent case against him once, they'll bring it twice, they'll bring it two times, they'll bring it three times. If they'll try to undermine him after he gets elected, they'll try to undermine him before he gets elected. There is no reason to give the DOJ the benefit of the doubt. But you have to understand, they're bringing these cases because they are significant. We've never had a president indicted before. We've never had a candidate for office indicted before and stay in the race. Okay, they'd be gone. But the fact that Trump doesn't have to go anywhere is not reflective on him or his voters. It's reflective on what people think of the DOJ.
That is correct.
So you get it, though. Okay, here's Jonathan Turley, as good of a legal analyst as there is, laying down the same thing and how this is an attack on free speech. He doesn't actually think it's going to stand. But again, it doesn't have to. They don't need it to put Trump in jail. They just have to make sure you don't put Trump back in the White House. And the idea of him running under the auspices that he could go to jail, it's going to impact the general election. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. This matters. It's a bad day for Trump. It's not good. Okay, yes, there's a rally around the flag mentality within the party, but you do need a percentage of independent voters. You do need a small percentage of vulnerable Democrats to come your way. It's a little harder to do in handcuffs. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, obviously the hope is that he doesn't go there. But either way, there's a war on free speech, there's a war on Trump, and there's absolutely a war on our ability to decide for ourselves when it comes to who the next president should be. Here's Jonathan Turley summing it up, clip six.
This is a free speech killing indictment. There's no way around it. And I've rarely seen a more chilling filing by the Department of Justice. I mean, the question that people have to ask themselves is, when is the price too high? People are obviously enraged, but when is the price too high to bag Donald Trump? This indictment is that prohibitive cost. What they are attempting to do is criminalize what they consider to be disinformation. And I have to tell you, this indictment is a really sad moment for me. I had hoped that if Smith was going to indict on January 6th, that he would find unassailable evidence and unquestioned legal authority. He has neither in this indictment. But what he does have is the criminalization of political speech.
Again, and that's what he's indicting him on. He's indicting him for saying an election was stolen. Again.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Think about that, man. It's the same thing the Democrats did.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Okay, so this idea that it's now a prosecutorial offense is ridiculous, completely ridiculous. Here's a little more Turley, clip seven.
I think that ultimately, even if he can eke out a conviction, I cannot imagine how this would stand an appellate review unless he's withholding evidence that we haven't seen. I mean, this is a speaking indictment, but it doesn't say very much. It basically just says that we think Trump is lying, that he actually didn't believe this.
I mean, dude.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
Okay. It is so ridiculous when you talk about the High Wire Act they're walking to try to make this indictment hold weight in the court system that you realize, again, it's a president of the United States. The office has to matter. When they tell you, like, ah, he's impugning faith, he's demeaning the office, it's nothing compared to how they're maligning the office. Even as an ex-president and a guy running again, I don't want to hear a word about undermining faith in democracy from the people who, to be clear, interfered in our democracy in 2020 before the election, certainly in 2016 after the election. Here's Joe Scarborough, okay? I'm going to play you a clip from Joe and Mika.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Listen, it's the highest rated show in Guantanamo Bay. You can't waterboard terrorists anymore. You're like, you confess! I'll put on Joe and Mika! And they're like,
no!
They can't do it. But here is Scarborough, and listen to his take, because what he's ultimately reacting to is the Fox News reaction. We have a lot of media-on-media crime these days. It's like half of the news. It's just the news reporting on the other news. Do you see what these guys did over there? I mean, most of CNN's ratings come from Fox showing CNN clips and being like, oh, dude, I got to throw you this Adam Kinzinger clip. You're not going to believe this. That's most of CNN's ratings, is us making fun of them. But here's Joe Scarborough getting a ratings bounce from your radio buddy, talking about our reaction to these indictments, clip 13.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Willie. Let's be very clear here. While there were, I talked about all the Republicans that chose country over an attempted coup. Last night, there are people like Kevin McCarthy, though, and there were also some people on other TV networks who continued the lie. I mean, these are people who spent the months after November the 4th, Election Day, spent months undermining America's confidence in democracy.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
So Joe Scarborough, wants you to believe. He's concerned with networks undermining faith in democracy. That's what he wants you to believe. I mean,
this guy's a serious ass.
And why do I say that? Because Joe Scarborough was a guy who spent 4 years telling you the 2016 election wasn't legitimate. Do you understand? Is there anything that undermines faith in democracy more than a guy telling you the election wasn't legitimate?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, the point is Joe Scarborough did the same thing Trump did. Granted, he wasn't doing it with the authority of a president, but he was part of that same narrative. Okay, when you talk to me about faith in democracy, do you know where Joe Scarborough has gone with the Hunter Biden laptop story? Okay, it started out with Joe Scarborough telling you for months, it's Russian disinformation. Then what did he do? Well, all right. So, wasn't Russian disinformation. Yeah, we kept it out of the lexicon in the run-up to the 2020 election, which, by the way, interferes with our democracy. But now that the election's over, it's real, but there's nothing to worry about because Joe never talked to his son. Okay, all right, great. Well, we got another election coming up in 2024, but you need to understand that while Joe did, in fact, talk to his son, it's important to know that he didn't talk to his business partners. Oh, hell. All right. Well, stick with me here because this is a developing story. And we now know for a fact that, yes, Joe talked to his son's business partners, but they didn't talk about business. I mean, dude, are you kidding me? Joe Scarborough, dude.
You're the lowest form of life on earth. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Oh, you little maggot. You make me want to vomit.
What a garbage human being. With a straight face, you get hair and makeup. And sneer into the camera, you're undermining faith in democracy. Dude, you said Vladimir Putin controlled our government after the 2016 election. It was an Austin Powers movie. Dr. Evil had taken control of the White House.
You shut your mouth, you bastard.
I don't want to hear about undermining faith in democracy. Is OJ going to criticize my marriage next? Come on, MSNBC. You got to be better than this. You have to be. And the thing is, like, I'm not an activist talk show host. You know my party is? It's America. That's the party. You listen to the show because you like the country.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
But there's no way you can tell me these people do when they're throwing you this much performative outrage, when they're throwing you this much, you know, it's this performative dismissiveness. Like, you don't even have a right to your opinion. Because what you're saying is so dangerous. I mean, saying an election is stolen? Who do you think you are, me? Like a year ago? I mean, come on, man.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Of course it did. But Adam Kinzinger might have won the stampede of stupidity. I always say it's a race to the bottom in D.C. You might fit him for the gold. Because if you listen close to this clip, he's going to end it by telling you 9/11 that January 6th. Woo! January 6th was the worst attack on this country since September 11th.
You're not telling me the truth.
Let's let him go for it. It's clip 12.
Not all the details of them and not how many of them. We knew that during the attack, Rudy Giuliani was still making calls. We knew that he was making that effort. I think he had called. I don't remember who it was at this point. And they said, I can't talk. I'm hunkered down here. And he's like, okay, well, you know, calls the next person. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of cold because you think of Rudy Giuliani, you know, America's mayor after 9/11, that's not only not caring about this really craziest attack since 9/11 to happen in this country, he's actually fueling.
You are a sad, strange little man.
He's not only caring about this craziest attack since 9/11.
I don't have any friends.
No friends. Nobody likes Kinzinger. It's just a nerd. There's nothing wrong with being a nerd. I just mean he's the other connotation of a nerd, just an unlikable jackass. It's the guy who cried after January 6th. Do you understand the Democrats, the Adam Kinzingers of the world, didn't cry when 42 people died during the George Floyd riots? They didn't cry when police stations got lit on fire. They didn't cry when people were killed because they allowed Seattle to establish a pretend country called CHOP in an autonomous zone within the city. They didn't cry. They didn't care. okay, about the death of the carnage when churches were set on fire, black-owned businesses were torched. They didn't cry when the black murder rate spiked by 30% in the aftermath of the defund movement. But Adam Kinzinger got on the stand and cried during the January 6th committee.
That was embarrassing.
And he cried why? And to be clear, one death is too many. But the only person who died in this deadly white supremacist insurrection at the Capitol was an unarmed Trump supporter by the name of Ashley Babbitt, who was shot in the throat by a Capitol police officer. Did Adam Kinzinger shed any tears for her?
The answer would be no.
No. Now, sadly, Capitol police officer did die days later. Coroners eventually did rule that it wasn't a result of January 6th so much as he died. But the fact remains, when it comes to guys like Adam Kinzinger crying and scaring you and 9-11-ing you.
You are so full of shit.
A show so good, it moves the stock market.
The Dow racing up on Jimmy's remarks.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla doing the damn thing. 888-788-9910. I am in town this week. I don't have to be on the road. Next live stand-up event, August 25th in Vegas. At the Green Valley Ranch. You want to see myself and Kennedy? You can come out to the Green Valley Ranch August the 25th. September the 16th, I will be at the Sugarloaf Performing Arts Center right up there in Sugarloaf, New York. Hey, girl, that's a hot one. And then we head out west. October 27th, Helena, Montana at the Helena Civic Center. You better be there. And October 28th, I'm down in Idaho Falls at the Colonial Theater. If you go to both, I don't know. You should win a prize. I'll get you a gift card to Chick-fil-A on the Sunday of your choice. But either one of those shows is going to be a banger because I will have just completed a very high-level, top-secret Fox News project that none of you know about, and I'll be on the road for no other reason than to blow off some serious steam.
That can't be good.
No, it can't be good, but it can be great. Because we are going for the gold in Helena, Montana, October the 27th, and hanging out with my man Richard Meacham in Idaho Falls on the 28th. So get your game face on, girlfriend, and we'll be back after this with Paul Morrow from the NYPD.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you heard the man. We are back in action. For another big hour of top-shelf radio in a bottom-feeding political world. It's Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. Fired up in this hour, we're going to talk to Paul Morrow, retired NYPD inspector, who throws the challenge flag at the particulars regarding the latest indictment of one Donald Trump. We're also going to get into more development and fallout from the Devin Archer testimony in the Hunter Biden shakedown operation.
Hunter's a dirtbag.
A lot of people feel that way. But you won't hear from them on the media, in the media right now. That, I got to be honest with you, there were more Elvis sightings yesterday than there were Devin Archer sightings on CNN, MSNBC, and any of the other channels. They're not going near this bad boy. And it's crazy because we should all be showing some intellectual curiosity, if for no other reason than because Joe Biden lied his ass off when it comes to this story.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, we'll talk about it, and this is why we'll talk about it. I just want you to understand this, okay? You don't need a background in law. You don't need to be a constitutional scholar, okay? But you can be just a basic human with 3 ounces of instinct in you. And you'd understand that if someone's lying about the first thing they tell you, the second thing they tell you, and the third thing they tell you, they're lying about the fourth thing they tell you.
I agree with that.
They don't suddenly find Jesus in the middle of the service, okay? Joe Biden lied when he said Hunter's laptop was fake. He lied when he said he never talked to Hunter about his business. He lied when he said he never talked to Hunter's business partners. The only thing left would be whether or not he's telling the truth about making money off of the deal. Does anyone in their right mind believe that he's telling the truth on that one? And we know that because there'd be no other reason to give Hunter money unless he was getting some involvement from his dad.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
He didn't have a background in energy, okay? He had a background in cocaine and hookers.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay, but that was his background. Nobody was sitting around at an energy company going, we got to sign this guy up. Something about the coke and the hookers. Well, I got to be honest with you. It probably makes for a halfway decent office party. Over in Ukraine, I don't know that they have, like, you know, all the corporate regulation we do. We're living in an America where if you were to talk to your coworkers about sex, you'd get fired. But if you were to talk to their kindergartner about sex, you'd get hired. Think about that.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Nah, sex ed in kindergarten. Bring it on. That's what's going on right now. It's crazy. It's never been a dumber time to be alive. But the reason nobody's covering the Hunter thing is not just to protect Joe Biden, but to protect themselves. You understand, every one of these networks went out and told you that Hunter Biden's overseas business operations didn't exist. They told you with a straight face it was Russian disinformation.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
So if you spent the run-up to an election interfering by saying it was Russian disinformation, when in fact it was true, you're not really fired up to revisit the subject matter and be like, well, we're joining you here, you know, from MSNBC. They like makeup on their face. They don't like egg. It doesn't highlight the eyes, doesn't contour the fat chin. They like makeup more than they like egg on their face. So they don't actually go near these stories. It's like the vaccine. Let me give you this one. Do you remember when they were really, really pistol whipping you into vaccine compliance, telling you you were a murderer and you were disavowing the science, even though they didn't have any? Remember this Rachel Maddow clip? I've played it before.
It means that instead of the vaccine being able, instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it. And then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were. Right. Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way, now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them, the virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Okay, everything she said was a lie. Vaccinated people do get COVID. Vaccinated people do spread COVID. Vaccinated people do get symptoms. Vaccinated people, sadly, end up dying. But they pistol whipped you with that outrage, with that self-righteousness, with that moral superiority. You're a murderer if you don't do this uninformed thing that we demand. That's the world we live in now. It's crazy. But you understand how wrong they were with everything she said. My question to you is, did anyone revisit this and go, well, turns out we were wrong?
The answer would be no.
Of course not. Nobody did. I literally, for entertainment, spent nights watching MSNBC in prime time to see if they'd revisit that.
Are you stupid or something?
Yeah, turns out I am, because there was a part of me. Again, I am so mindful of the impact my broadcasts have on you. I spent a lot of time in a taxi listening to the radio, realizing that content would leave me feeling a certain way. If the guy was mad all the time, I was mad all the time. You know what I mean? And it's you become a product of that environment in a lot of ways. And because I spent so much time seeing the impact that talk radio and political discourse could have on me, I became hyper aware of the impact that my broadcasts have on you. So I'm very careful when I get on the air to tell you the truth, or what I believe to be, with all the fiber in my being, the truth. If a fact emerges a week from now that contradicts something I say, the beauty of the type of show I do is I can just say I was wrong and we can laugh. Ah, the community college kid blew that one. Way to go, Jimbo. Yeah, there it is.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
We do that, and we just move on with the conversation. But when you're a self-righteousness pimp, you can't revisit what you got wrong, okay? But to say they got the Hunter Biden laptop wrong would be to imply that they tried to get it right, which we all know isn't the truth. No different than Russian collusion. They didn't try to get that right and got it wrong. They knew it was wrong. It was Oppo research, bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign. So you understand, when it comes to the Hunter story, nobody wants to revisit it because it's something they screwed you over on. They don't want to own that. They don't want a world where Joe Biden gets impeached. They don't want a world where we actually go through, sort out the finances, rip up the plea deal, and figure out why 15 different accounts were getting money before they wound up in the bank accounts of the grandkids. Dude, you know that's not a legit thing. You've never been a part of a business transaction where it ends with someone saying, well, you know, I need you to send the money through these 15 companies and make sure the 15th one sends it to my grandkids' account. At that point, you'd have a lot of questions about the legitimacy of this business entity.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, but here is Daniel Goldman. I played some of this yesterday. Okay, but he's essentially echoing the sentiments of everyone in the media, okay, in saying that there's nothing to see here. Nothing at all. This is just nonsense. I don't know why anyone's talking about it. Okay, I find this so fascinating because you've got to really perform. Like, I perform. You see me in Vegas, August 25th, thousands of people. It's wild. And you got to perform. You got to show up, do your act, talk to the people, wear a shiny sport coat, be silly. Okay, I get performing. Okay, but this is another level of performing because you've got to do it with a straight face. Like, I tell jokes, okay, and I can do that with a straight face. You can hide the punchline. You can deliver it in a certain manner to make it funnier, to withhold certain information because you know you're going to dump it on the audience a few minutes later to build on the first joke you told them. That's an art form. But there's a difference between telling a joke and being a joke. And here is Dan Goldman physically inhabiting a joke. This is a method guy all the way, clip 18.
I think it is safe to say that after yet another 2 hours, there still is no connection of any of Hunter Biden's business dealings with President Biden. The witness indicated that Hunter spoke to his father every day. And approximately 20 times over the course of 10-year relationship, Hunter may have put his father on the phone with any number of different people, and they never once spoke about any business dealings.
That is balderdash and hogwash and mm-hmm.
No, that is just, that is some next level clown stuff. Next level. Okay. We finished 2 hours of questioning. I think it's safe to say that after yet another 2 hours, there's still no connection. Wait, what? Devin Archer flat out testified that Hunter Biden told him he wouldn't be getting this money were it not for his dad, that his dad was the brand, that his dad was represented in these conversations because the brand was the sell. Now, I don't doubt for a second that Joe Biden got on the phone for the sole purpose of establishing that he was connected to what Hunter was doing, but did have the good sense to not say, hey, give my son the money so he can give it to me. That's not what they do. They know better. He's the vice president of the United States. When you're the vice president of the United States, just so you understand, they don't put you on the phone with somebody. Just go, hey, somebody wants to talk to you. Here it is. Okay, there is a level of security and detail that goes into everything you do, which is what makes Kamala Harris's ineptitude that much more stunning. This is a woman so stupid she studied for a COVID test.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh.
But you understand when you're the vice president and you're about to speak in a meeting, they tell you who you're speaking to. They tell you what it's about. They tell you what they'd like you to say. They tell you what to focus on. Okay, that's how these gigs work. When you're the president, when you're the vice president, you are in a cocoon of about 25 people that follow you everywhere you go and carefully curate everything you do. Unless you're Trump, who gave us an OnlyFans presidency. He just showed you all of it. Didn't care about the advisors. You never heard him say, oh, they won't let me take questions, or they told me to call on this guy first. No, he just looked around the room and threw the fastball. Oh, there's a guy over there with his hand up, Mr. President.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
What about him?
This guy will say
That's
anything.
That's just what he was doing. That's all he was ever doing. Jim Acosta wants to ask a question, Mr. President.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
So you understand, okay, it would normally be a lot more restrained than that. And when Biden was the vice president, he didn't get on the phone 20 times. 20 times with no background in who he was talking to. Do you know how many times he got on the phone with no background in who he was talking to as the vice president of the United States? Are you ready for it? Zero.
Correct the mundo.
That's not how the gig works. Last night I was on Gutfeld with KT McFarland, served under Reagan, served again under Trump. She was making this point in the green room. She's like, it's so silly because through the context of omission, they can make insane things sound plausible. Okay, and that's what they did there. Well, he just got on the phone, exchanged pleasantries. It's Hunter's business partners. He's being nice. People like to meet the vice president. It's a thing you do, which I get. Okay, I'm at events. People are like, hey, can I put you on the phone with my mom? She loves you. She couldn't come. And then I get on and call the mom a hoe, and we have a laugh, and everybody loves it. Okay, but understand when you're the vice president of the United States, it doesn't work that way. And when you know your son is making tens of millions of dollars from overseas entities that are trying to do business with our country, okay, at the very least, you'd refuse to get on the phone with these people if you weren't involved because you wouldn't want to create the perception that your son's business dealings were influencing your actions in governance.
I think he's got a point.
But in this instance, not only did he talk to these people, not only is a business partner flat out telling you that he was the beneficiary of this involvement, but we have him flat out admitting on tape, bragging that he ultimately went out and fired a prosecutor in Ukraine by threatening to withhold foreign aid. Here it is, clip 17.
They were walking out to the press conference. I said, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
What an idiot.
That's Joe Biden right there. I mean, weapons grade stupid, bragging about doing the very thing they impeached Trump for. But nobody in the media ever calls out that obvious double standard.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Totally. But one of the reasons why is they're now activists masquerading as journalists, and they don't want to own any of the lies or the impact they've had on society. Do you think anybody in the media who was telling you the riots were okay in 2020 have revisited the crime stats in the black community? No. Do you remember when they were quoting Martin Luther King? A riot is the language of the unheard. It absolutely is. But they never once took a second to point out why none of these people felt heard in cities that were run by liberals for 100 years. Okay? That's the scourge of the modern media. Okay? They're activists, and they don't want to own any of the lies or any of the destruction that they've caused in our society. So Hunter Biden, believe me, he's going to get a free pass from them. But I can't promise you he's going to get a free pass from the Republicans, nor should he, because if we've learned anything, it's that they're all full of it. No people more so than the guys on the left that are supposed to be reporting on this stuff.
The media is a bunch of losers.
You're listening to the most relatable man on the radio.
Best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America, Jimmy Failla, trying to hold this country together. It ain't looking pretty out there in these streets. Paul Morrow is a retired NYPD inspector. You hear him on the show all the time. He's all over the Fox News channel. He is joining us in the next break to take us inside this latest Trump indictment and get us up to speed in what we've seen from this Hunter Biden fiasco. I got to tell you, man, the people on the left are woo. They're in a real tight spot here. But you know who's helping them out? Are you ready for it? Republicans. Why? Nancy Mace will explain it to you. Clip 26.
At this point, an inquiry is different from an impeachment vote and is another tool in the toolbox. But I will tell you, every time we walk the plank, we are putting moderate members, members that won Biden won districts, we are putting those seats at risk for 2024. We are putting the majority at risk. And it's not just impeachment that does that. Other issues like abortion, et cetera, also put those members on the plank.
You blockhead!
Why do I say that, Nancy Mace? Because she's flat out telling you the politics are more important. Well, we can't, you know, I don't know. You don't want to impeach him. I mean, if you do an inquiry, that's cool. We're looking into the guy. But what about those moderate people? Well, here's the truth. Okay, you either believe there's crimes here or you don't. It shouldn't be the politics. It should be the country. Do you understand? That's the part everybody's getting wrong. They're such a perpetual fight for power and control, and they're more concerned with themselves than they are the country. So if they have the goods, you do, yes, you go impeach the guy, 100%. I don't care about the election or moderate people. Go out and win the idea battle. But this is where go-along-to-get-along politicians, the Uniparty, which is 90% of Washington, put us in the position that we're in. You understand, like, Donald Trump could only become president because the people who traditionally were president sucked at the gig. Okay, the establishment Republicans and Democrats that were saying the right things on TV and then running the country into the ground when they got off the air are why there was an appetite for an outsider to come in. Yes, people who had corporate press love like Barack Obama, you know, obviously they were real tough on George W. Bush, but even if you head before that to the era in the 90s. Yeah, I mean, you remember the 90s, right? They always say Trump was the most disgusting thing in the Oval Office. I say close, but no cigar.
This is not okay.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America trying to hold this country together in the summer of 2023. There's now a Groupon online to indict a United States president. It had never happened once in the history of our country, 247 years old, same age as Dianne Feinstein. But now it's happened not once, not twice, but three times. If anyone can make sense of this, it is a rising cable news star, the man behind the opsdesk.org. We're talking about Paul Morrow. Hey, man.
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm confused. That's how I am. Like, I read this. I watched Jack Smith do this. Speak to me on cab driving terms. What is more legitimate, this indictment or that Rolex I just bought for $3 in Times Square?
Yeah, this thing is troublesome. So, look, I want to say out at the outset that Donald Trump did a lot of things here he likely should not have done.
Fair.
And he didn't act with great wisdom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's following at that time the advice of his attorneys or he is ignoring the advice of his attorneys. But either way, this thing could have been much, much better handled, differently handled, and had he left graciously, et cetera, et cetera. All right,
we
all get that.
Fair.
Okay. Now, that said, I see only, and I'm going to speak in real basic terms here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see only one shred of meat on the bone of this indictment. When you pare away all of the hyperbole and sort of, you know, there's a word that strikes me in reading it. It's petulant.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read an indictment or official court document that feels so tattletale-y to me. It sounds like that sniveling kid in your class that gives everybody up when the teacher comes back into the room because everybody was, you know, shooting spitballs.
Yeah, yeah.
So looking at it in very sort of concrete terms, almost all of it is either a thought crime or a protected speech crime. Those will go away. The evidence for the charges that involves speech mm-hmm. or thought mm-hmm. will drop away. I see one bit of hard evidence here of something that maybe could stick. And this is, again, only one side of things because that's an indictment. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with the electors. Now, just to recap, it's sort of a double-pronged thing. One of his co-conspirators advises, let's essentially have the electors that are loyal to us
mm-hmm.
certify your victory in these battleground states
mm-hmm.
and send that to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they first pose that, they say, let's do that if we win the recounts.
Mm-hmm.
That is, at least in some way, shape, or form, legally and logically defensible.
Okay.
Because if a recount shows that Donald Trump did win Arizona,
mm-hmm.
well, then they should change what they sent originally to the Senate.
Fair
enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then you segue into the second part of that. And as it evolves, one of those co-conspirators says, look, even if we don't win the recount, do it anyway. We'll cause chaos in the Senate. We'll get a couple of our proxies in the Congress, in the Senate, to stand up and say, I recognize those electors, these new electors, because this was a corrupt election.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see if we can get Pence to go along with the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is where you have action.
Okay.
That's action, and you have to show knowledge, however, as part of that action. But that's the only place in this thing that I see where you have action with a potential requisite mental state, and you actually have something that could stand scrutiny.
Talking to retired NYPD Inspector Paul Morrow. His website, of course, opsdesk.org. More in-depth writing on this and anything else related to the court system, crime and punishment. It's mostly crime. There's not a lot of punishment where we live in New York City.
No, there really isn't, man. I tell you, it's getting bad.
The only people getting punished are the Mets fans. You know, that's about it.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it is. It's like a baseball dominatrix. You actually go there for the poor treatment at this point. They take your money rough.
The food got better. I'll take it. But other than that, no, you're right.
Yeah, give you that. City Field did get better. But let me ask you this, okay, since we're talking about the idea of an ex-president eating prison food. When you assess this from a 20,000-foot view, does this look like a situation where the process is the punishment, meaning it's going to hang over his head for the foreseeable future, which could impact 2024? Because the only reason I have that question, and it's not based on any understanding of the legality of what's happening, it's just based on the fact that it would seem that if they wanted to charge him with his behavior in the aftermath of that election, it could have happened a year ago. Could it have not?
Yes, it could have. And when you consider how they went about this investigation, he's got a whole, you know, DOJ has put like all resources needed into this thing. Mm-hmm. And they are shoehorning all kinds of activity into really novel uses of arcane statutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for the defrauding the government statute, I've never seen these charges.
Yes.
And, you know, they are like herding the cats to get these actions into and under these statutes, which is why I think, as I said, I think a number of this, a lot of this stuff is going to go away. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a tell, by the way, real quickly.
Yeah.
When you see conspiracy and attempted dominating the masthead of an indictment or a complaint, you know, generally, you've got a pretty thin case.
Yeah.
Remember what a conspiracy is. Two people agreeing to commit a crime. Doesn't mean you got to commit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And even the thing that I just described about the electors never happened.
Yeah.
So they're charging conspiracy on that because, okay, you agreed to do that. You never did it. And then, look, conspiracy charges have validity. We used to use them in the terrorism cases. You don't have to wave them to build the bomb and bomb the bridge. You just, you know, if they agree to do it, they go out, they take some substantial steps. As the legal term goes, they buy the wiring, they start looking at how to build it. You can take them at a point where a jury is going to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see that being the dominating thing at the top of an index in the indictment, then you know, all right, I got thin gruel here. And in light of that thin gruel, I tend to agree with you. They are looking, obviously, to influence the election. I think at this point you can't deny that. But also to take Hunter off the front pages because you're getting very close to Joe Biden's carotid here, and they obviously do not want it.
It is a little weird, Paul, because I never want to believe that this is as coordinated as it is, but every time something bad comes out of the Hunter story, Trump gets another indictment handed to him. And I'm sure it could be coincidental. You know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's this other part of me, going back to that $3 Rolex we discussed at the top of this.
Yeah, the cab driver part of you. Yeah, you're right. The no BS part of you, and I think of a lot of Americans, is, you know, if it walks like a duck, et cetera. But I have to tell you, at some point in 2024, maybe late 2024, Donald Trump may be sending candy grams to Jack Smith. Because every time this happens, his numbers go up.
Yes, it's crazy.
And there could be a point where we look back and say, and I'm not endorsing this, like I said, I don't like being put into position of having to defend everything Donald Trump does. We, you know, a part of this case resides in his mind. You know, he has to have done what he did knowingly, and I think we'd all agree that exploring Donald Trump's mind is going to be a mysterious process at best. So, you know, I don't want to make myself his apologist or his attorney, but you see it. I think that every time they do this, it seems to backfire.
Yep, it's fascinating stuff. Talking to Paul Morrow, opsdesk.org. Check it out. Subscribe. On the Hunter side of the aisle, so fascinating to me because here's the thing, man. I don't doubt that Biden actually made phone calls like Devin Archer testified without getting into the specifics of business, because essentially he's just validating his involvement by being willing to show up. I mean, isn't that what they would do in a high profile scenario like this?
You know, it really is. And anybody who has seen him speak anytime recently has to say to themselves, if you think that Joe Biden has the bandwidth to be doing anything and then getting on the phone and going into deep business negotiations with apparently some very hard-headed characters.
No, I
can't give him that credit. That doesn't absolve him here. The idea that he got on 20 times and all that time somehow or other discussed the weather was not a good look and a not great defense. And one of the things that all the legal analysts have been saying, including me to an extent, is that relative to all of these deals maybe impinging on Joe Biden is you need a witness. We got to get a witness. And, you know, apparently Devin Archer and Bob Alinsky have been sharing bunk beds and witness protection all along here. But now you have somebody willing to go on the record and can put Joe Biden at the scene. And that's the kind of stuff for a grand jury or an impeachment hearing that carries weight. And you got to start to say to yourself, as the details and contours of the deals that they were involved in, you know, you got to start to say to yourself, this really, really is starting to look bad. And I have to tell you, I don't think, you know, if I had to make a prediction now, you know, Paul, you got to bet your pension. I don't think Joe Biden's the nominee. I don't think he's going to make it. I think they're going to impeach him, and I think he's going to bow out.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, man. But I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons to think he won't actually run. Mainly the fact that he announced he was running and hasn't campaigned, and that was 4 months ago. It's usually a bad sign.
Oh, that's how he ran his first one.
Yeah, true, fair. So you're telling
and
me
he's older.
They were just they were working on the new COVID variant.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, he right. If I will say one thing, and I think that even the Dems will have to throw up their hands, and you know, for them, it's probably the best thing that could happen to them. But because he can't debate, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to endure a grueling campaign trail. But if, as is being reported in some areas, that they have found, which is mostly coming from Congress, that they have found offshore accounts. That's going to be really troubling. And one last thing that I just I don't understand why nobody has focused on. Somebody do a segment on Joe Biden's real estate holdings. This is a guy who's never earned, ostensibly, more than a civil servant's salary. That guy's been in – he was one of the youngest senators we've ever had. He's been in Congress since the 70s. And, you know, he's making, at that point, nowhere near the kind of money where you can have three separate compounds. He's got houses and stuff all over the place. How does that happen?
It's interesting. I mean, yeah, in a follow the money scenario, I think they'd have a real problem, man. I mean,
of course they would.
Wow, it's so crazy. But there's two things in play here. Okay, I don't think the media wants to revisit any of this because they were complicit in burying the story the first time around. You know,
they were.
And that's the part to me when you talk about horse sense that I think should make the level of this rise for every objective observer is the fact that we've seen the cascading staircase of lies. It went from the laptop ain't really doesn't have one of these businesses to fine he does, but Biden never talked about it, to fine Biden talked about it and talked to his business partners, but he still wasn't involved. I mean, the only statement left that we haven't proven is false is whether or not he made money. But if the first four statements the witness gives you are false, what are the odds that the fifth one is true?
That's exactly right. And, you know, what you're saying there goes to the heart of the kind of charges you would bring where you, you know, if we had an actual functioning DOJ in a situation like this, which are bribery charges. And bribery charges are almost, unless you have some real luck, where you have some crazy smoking gun in an email, which would be foolhardy. And by the way, Joe Biden knows how to play this game. He's been at it a long time. He does it the way Harry Reid used to do. They just consider this to be part of U.S. government DNA. You know, lobbyists make you money on the side, et cetera, et cetera. But bribery charges and things like that, they're almost always made circumstantially. Unless you've run an operation, you wire somebody up, you send them in, you get it on tape. Bribery charges are made off of the circumstances around the person's life. As you see, okay, so there was that. This is the quid pro quo, and look at that. He went out and bought a Mercedes or a new home. So I think that you make a very valid point. You know, if four of the five things are proven and we have the circumstances for the fifth, then it should be able to go that way. But of course, you know, it's never going to. And it really comes down at the end of the day, Jimmy, at the end of the day, we have a real grand jury, as grand as in large, as in the voters of this country. And the real sort of, you know, jury sequestration here is going to be Election Day 2024. That's really the trial that's going on, and that's really the jury.
Yep.
And you got to see how the American people choose here. And if you know, if we put them back in, we deserve what we get.
You're damn right we do. Paul Morrow's on the line. Opsdesk.org is the site. Since you brought up the election, I'm just going to give you my theory. I've given this out on the radio from time to time, but we got 2 minutes to make this happen. Okay, my belief, okay, is in 2016, Joe Biden was leaving the White House as vice president, thinking he was finished in politics. Obviously, Obama had told him not to run. It was Hillary's turn. Okay, yes. The assumption in D.C. was that she would win easily. Certainly.
8 years.
Yep, yeah. Easy 8 years. So there's no world where Biden's running again. He's not going to launch a first-time bid at 82. So knowing that to be the case, I'm sure they stepped on the gas to make him a golden parachute from all the influence he could still sell in government on the way out the door. And he probably let the kid get a little nuts. Well, lo and behold, Hillary loses, and he decides there's an opening to run. But he just spent the previous 4 years behaving like a guy who wasn't going to run. Now he's running, at which point they had to get a little creative. And the investigations into his son, I believe, on some level might have even been opened to stop further investigations into his son and shield him. And when I see the plea deal, it kind of validates that perception for me, because it's the first plea deal for tax evasion and gun charges that absolve you from other crimes. Very shady stuff, Paul Morrow. What do you give what do you give my hypothesis?
Well, it's no worse than any others. The only thing I would say is that there is, in my mind, and again, I go back to his lifestyle and his real estate holdings. You know, the first home the guy bought was a DuPont mansion, literally. So he's been at whatever it is he's doing a long time, I would argue, in my opinion. And but I do think that your idea here that he thought he was done, and let me cash out here at the end. You know, I don't have a whole lot of runway left, so I might as well do it. Drinking Cristal and caviar, I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it becomes very easy when you got a guy like Hunter out there as your torpedo, flying all over the world trying to do this stuff. And he was an older man at that point. His acumen deserted him, and he didn't have good advisors, including Dr. Jill here. You know, she doesn't. She, you see what she's about. So,
racket! What a racket! The only thing I'll correct you on is he wasn't drinking champagne. It was just 24-carat cans of Ensure. Okay, but nonetheless, he was balling. Paul Morrow, you're the man. Everybody's going to opsdesk.org. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Great, Jimmy. Thank you.
Back after this.
It's the show that leaves you hungry for more.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soup, eat bread and desserts, and just get all fat and sassy.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Going to take a quick trip down to East Texas. Peter on the line in Tyler. Yo, Pete.
Hey, Jimmy.
My man.
Man, you got it done, brother. You got the seventh grandchild recognized.
I'm taking credit for that. I'm taking credit. Does the grandkid, now that it's recognized, does it get a cut of the Ukrainian money? That's what I want to know.
Where's their check, right?
I mean, that you're not acknowledged in this family unless some oligarch sends you a pile of cash. Did you see the way he did it, though, Pete? He dumped it on a Friday?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
But I tell you what, though. I mean, it's like... They're listening to you, brother. They're listening to you.
Oh, you know
what? They didn't like that white trash comment.
But it's still true. Are you telling me the Bidens couldn't be on the Jerry Springer show? Hunter's having an affair with his brother's widow, and he knocks up a stripper. That's a Jerry Springer episode, and a good one. I'd watch it. Would you not watch that? Spot on. Whoa. Big talk, but the white cowboy boots will be there, Pete. We'll do it again soon, brother. Thanks for the call. Brilliant as always. You got to love the East Texas callers. Always sharp, always funny. And Pete's right there with me and saying, yes, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, they would be a phenomenal Jerry Springer episode. That being said, 2024 is coming, and I'd rather watch Jerry Springer than vote for it.
Come on, man.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Hour number three. Trace. That three in Spanish, right? I don't have a I don't have much of an educational background, but I have a background in America, and we're about to dive right into it in this hour with Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, a guy who cares about the country, a guy who is in on the joke that if you're listening to this program, it's because you have American privilege.
Freedom!
Okay, sadly, we have gone from the team nobody wants to play to the team nobody can take seriously anymore because of the conditions on the ground in Washington.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
It would seem that way. We're going to discuss some of those stupid people in this hour. 888-788-9910. If you want to be a part of the program, 888-788-9910. There was no bar for admission. You're all welcome.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
I say it every day. Just come hang out. It's all it is. It's a radio show. Remember radio? Guy would just get on the air and say stuff, talk to you. You'd have a conversation. Wouldn't be trying to, like, change your life. Wouldn't be trying to change your mind. Just be talking, man. You talk. It's good. It's therapeutic. When I was a cab driver, are you kidding me? If you say, you know, you become an affordable therapist because you realize sometimes people just need to talk. Makes them feel better. Makes you feel better. Hearing about somebody else's weird shenanigans. I'm like, wow, at least I'm not getting spanked with a G.I. Joe like the guy I just dropped off at the post office. I mean, man.
What the hell did you just say?
Oh, let me tell you. You meet some real winners driving a taxi in New York City, and they all tell you everything because they don't think they're ever going to see you again. But then, lo and behold, you do see some of them again.
This could be a problem.
Not for me, but sometimes for them. Well, good morning, cowboy. Look who's back in the saddle. There's a little of that going on. Not good. But stick with me, because right now we are not talking about the deviant behavior of New York City taxi passengers. We're talking about the deviant behavior of people in Washington, D.C. Merrick Garland's a dirtbag, okay? Political activist masquerading as your attorney general. Merrick Garland, who, of course, conspired with the teachers' unions to frame parents upset at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. Do you remember that one? He had to testify because of that one. Okay, Merrick Garland, who has been front and center on all of the DOJ malfeasance we've seen under Joe Biden, yesterday found his nearest microphone in Philadelphia to react to the Trump indictment, the latest Trump indictment, by the way. There's a writer's strike right now in Hollywood. So they're like, I don't know, I guess we'll just put out another Trump indictment. These people just keep churning out bad content for the country. Here it is, clip four.
So immediately after the January 6th attack on our democracy, the career men and women of the Justice Department engaged in what has become the largest investigation in our history. Mr. Smith and his team of experienced, principled, career agents and prosecutors have followed the facts and the law wherever they lead. Any questions about this matter will have to be answered by the filings made in the courtroom.
I don't know. This is
politics as usual.
That's what it is. I just talked in the last hour to Paul Morrow, retired NYPD inspector. He runs opsdesk.org. It's the most brilliant and insightful writing you're going to come across on the internet as it pertains to legal matters. That's why I see Paul all over the TV. You know, he was a guy that worked in counterterrorism for the NYPD. You know, this guy worked as a detective. You know, he's been on every side of big government cases, international stuff, and he can speak to the specifics of what happens to be in these indictments. So he's like a specialist. He's on the show all the time. He's on the network all the time on the TV side. And he flat out said in the last hour, he's not trying to be a Donald Trump apologist, but the reason so many people wind up sounding like one over here on Fox is because oftentimes the people bringing charges against him are full of okay, that's where the perception was created during the Trump administration that like, oh, Fox is in the tank for Trump. But we weren't. We were in the tank for the truth. Which is why at times we took divergent paths from Trump and he'd trash us on Twitter or he'd trash us on Truth Social. Nobody ever brings that up in the media. We're like, ah, Fox, they're just out there shilling for Trump. But how come they never mention how much time Trump spends trashing us because we don't always agree?
I think he's got a point.
Of course. But when it comes to stuff like the judicial malfeasance we're seeing right now at a Jack Smith, okay, you're indicting a former president who happens to be the leading nominee for his political party in the upcoming election. And you're indicting him over something that, for all intents and purposes, okay, is a thought crime. We don't have physical evidence. We don't have a physical crime. We have Trump question the legitimacy of an election. People showed up at the Capitol. I guess we got to lock them up. Except that's not how freedom of speech works. Except they don't actually have any of the things they spoke to yesterday in announcing the indictment. He's not being charged with the things they mentioned. It's like when you hear them start talking about insurrection, you know, disenfranchising, everything in between. Okay, you go inside the charges and they're not there. Okay, and that's the part of this that makes it so ridiculous. But here's Jack Smith telling you he's going to hold Trump criminally responsible. Dun, dun, da. Clip three.
Since the attack on our Capitol, the Department of Justice has remained committed to ensuring accountability for those criminally responsible for what happened that day. This case is brought consistent with that commitment, and our investigation of other individuals continues. In this case, my office will seek a speedy trial so that our evidence can be tested in court and judged by a jury of citizens.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Oh, he's going to hold him criminally accountable. You'll see. Paul Morrow was flat out telling us in the last hour that this isn't even a case that should be brought. Okay, and that's the problem here, is they're doing this stuff with no regard for the effect it has on society. Half the country doesn't believe, okay, doesn't trust what's coming out of its DOJ. That's a really big problem for our country. It's like public health initiatives. We now know we were lied to so brazenly by our public health officials as it pertained to COVID and masks, mandates and things of that nature, lockdowns, school closures, that the next time, heaven forbid, DC is telling us what to do with our health, it's going to be really hard, really hard for people to buy in. Okay, and that becomes a problem because if in fact their advice is right and it needs to be followed, okay, I can't promise you it will be, and for good reason. They have not earned our trust, they've betrayed it. So you're sitting here in an America right now where half the country doesn't trust the DOJ, which is why Trump has now been indicted three times and his poll numbers are going up. Okay, his fundraising's not going up because big money donors actually don't think he's going to win. I'm not going to lie to you about that. They don't think he's going to win. Okay, but his poll numbers are going up because they're hardening his support every time they do this. And what they're trying to convince you of on the other channels, what they're trying to convince you of when you hear the Merrick Garlands of the world speak, say, you know, Trump is this manipulative criminal and the people that still support him after all this time are like in a cult. But that's not the case. It's not that his voters are crazy. It's that his voters think the DOJ happens to be full of using that one a lot today. Here is Van Jones. He's over on CNN. He wants you to believe he's absolutely sick that this is happening. Clip 11.
I feel kind of sick. You know, I think for all day it was kind of almost this giddy feeling like, oh, he's going to be indicted. He's not going to be indicted. When it actually happened, I remember sitting here with January 6th and watching the violence, watching what was going on and being shocked and appalled. And if you had told me it would take 2.5 years before we as a country said, that's not good, President Trump. That's not good. I mean, if you ask a fifth grade class, can you cheat? Can you lie? Can you defraud? Can you use violence to get your way? A fifth grade class would say you can't. Well, the federal government just told Donald Trump, you can't do that. And what I like about this indictment is it's just that simple. Mm-hmm. You are a fraudster, sir, and you can't do that.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Okay, so his concern is that it took too long. It took too long to bring the indictment. That's what he wants you to believe.
Have you ever had a checkup?
I don't know that he has. Dude, the fact that you're out there admitting it took too long, are you ready for it? Okay. Is you flat out admitting, whether you realize it or not, that it's only being done for political purposes now?
Oh, wow!
Okay, why did it take too long? As Van Jones said, everything they're charging him with, they had 2 years ago. Everything they're charging him with, they had a year ago. So to Van Jones's point, yeah, this did happen a lot later than it should have. So why is it happening now? I think we all know the answer. It's because the guy happens to be winning.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
I mean, Van Jones doesn't realize it. Oh, I'm sick. It should have happened sooner. Okay, that's really why he's sick, is because it's so brazenly being done for political purposes. And I'm telling you this as a guy who just cares about the country. Okay, for 3 hours a day, I get on the phone, I get on the radio and talk to you guys about this stuff. When it's over, dude, it's over. I'm just a guy. I'm going to go eat something. I'm working on a book. I'm going to go hang out with Lincoln. That's what I'm going to do. I don't sit here online afterwards rallying. I'm not an activist. I don't care. I'm a human, really raw, very flawed individual, but I'll share my assessments because I care about the country. Okay, and I'm telling you flat out, like, we're in this place now that's really dangerous. It ain't good, okay, because they have very well weaponized our justice system against one political party, and there's a lot of carnival barkers and clowns like Van Jones that are out there fretting about the fact that their political opportunism wasn't done in the most expedient fashion, which, of course, lets us see behind the magician a little bit. We see where they stick the rabbit. We see how he guesses what card you're holding. Okay? We see how the trick gets played now. Okay, but the biggest thing we see, and this is the part that I say is really precarious for all of us as a country. You've heard me say this on the show if you listen every day. And if you do listen every day, I'm sorry. I don't know. That being said, we'll do better. I swear we will. But stick with me. Okay, the Thomas Jefferson quote, it just keeps coming back to my fat face. When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When people fear the government, there is tyranny. The government is not operating in fear of its people anymore. It's not. Oh, yeah, you guys all elected this guy 2016? Well, guess what? We're going to make up a collusion scandal. Try to get him thrown out of office. We might even leak so many anonymously sourced bombshells that he gets himself disqualified just by firing the prosecutor and creating the perception he was involved with Russia. Watch this. Then when they got caught doing it, what happened? Nothing. Some of them got TV deals out of it and went over and started to continue to tell their same story over on CNN.
CNN is the worst.
Totally. Okay, but now you look at this. All right, yeah, well, you know, we've never indicted a president in the 246-year history of the country. But starting in Manhattan, a local district attorney is going to indict Trump on federal charges. Does a local DA in New York actually have federal charging authority?
The answer would be no.
Of course not, but we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because he paid off a stripper for her silence, okay? And he apparently paid her by check, and he was supposed to pay her in singles, okay? But the point is, he boned a stripper.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, I don't know. But they said, we're charging him for this. Even though we had the last 3 years to charge him for it and didn't, we're charging him now. What are you going to do about it? We were like, whoa. And then he did a SWAT raid down at Mar-a-Lago. Was he the first guy to mishandle classified information? Did any of the other people who mishandled it get a SWAT raid? No, ma'am. But they were like, yeah, SWAT raid. We're indicting a president again, mishandling classified documents. What are you going to do about it? And again, I'm not asking you to do anything about it. I'm not calling for violence. I'm not endorsing violence. I'm telling you we're bordering on tyrannical times where they're flat out looking at the 2024 election right now. I'm going, oh, yeah, you want to elect this guy? Good luck electing him from behind bars. You like going to those rallies where he makes fun of everybody? Yeah, good luck, because its space is going to be limited in cell block B. I'm telling you, the government doesn't fear us anymore, and it's not supposed to work that way. But one of the reasons it does is because half of the country plays along with this garbage. Do you understand when they're doing this to Republicans, they're doing this to all of us? We, the voters, are their employers. And if they're disregarding half of the board, okay, they're disregarding the board as a whole. That's the scam. Okay, and you can continue to play along with it if you're a liberal, but I promise because I care, it doesn't end good for any of us in any political party.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failon.
He is one of those iconic figures that fans care about.
Ooh, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Harris Faulkner, queen of daytime, damn good friend of the show. She's coming on the show perhaps next week. She had Ron DeSantis on her show today. DeSantis told her that the campaign is going well.
That is offensive, and it is not true.
Harris told him his campaign seems to have had a mission failure. Really fascinating stuff, because even as Trump continues to get indicted, DeSantis continues to lay off staff. It is a mess. We've reached out. I want to have DeSantis on the show because I'm pretty good at getting inside who the person really is. That's kind of my contribution to this whole thing, is I'm not a policy nerd, but I know how to punch them in the human being. And, you know, the candy flies out. You find out what their real insides happen to be. And I'm excited to get that assessment of DeSantis while he's still in the race. I'm not saying he's dropping out anytime soon, but the way it's going, traditionally in politics, if your opponent is getting indicted, you're going up in the polls. I've never seen this before. So it does mean that DeSantis is not doing a strong job of making his case. Alex is in Brooklyn. He's going to make the case against this prosecution of Donald Trump. Yo, Alex!
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking the call. You know, maybe Ron DeSantis and one of these people should do some small crime, and then hopefully they'll get indicted, and maybe it'll help the phone numbers go up a little bit. But you mentioned that 10% of the country thinks that the DOJ is corrupt and they have no trust in it, and it's a sad thing. But I think what's even sadder is the fact that the other half of the country is perfectly fine with the corruption that's going on in the DOJ, and that's most Democrats. Even if you explain to a Democrat that Trump did nothing wrong, they're still like, indict him, and everything is fair game, because they look at Trump as a monster, like kind of if we would catch Bin Laden alive and bring him to the United States, and the law says you can't hang anybody, everybody would say, of course, hang him and do anything to him, because he deserves it and he's a despicable person. That's how the Democratic Party looks. But I think, you know, that's even sadder. At least we know what the truth is. But this indictment is so crazy, because it sounds like they're making up a new rule. Freedom of speech is not allowed. If you believe that the election in 2020 was stolen because there were a lot of suspicious things going on where they changed the rules with signature verification and ID cards where you didn't have to show that, and you say that you can get indicted, I mean, that means they're making up a new rule. We never had that before. And the rule that they're making up for, they have a double standard over that as well. And they don't abide by their own rule that they're making up now, because Stacey Abrams and Hillary Clinton ran around saying that the election was stolen from them after they lost their election.
Yep. It is a wild time to be alive. But if it were not for those double standards, we wouldn't have any, as you know, Alex. I appreciate your passion on the matter. I'm going to take this up with Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen next. I'll see if your analysis passes the Senate test, Alex. But you're fine by me. We're back after this. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. 888-788-9910. Trying to track down Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Guy's got a lot of kids. He's got a frisky wife, too. He's always talking about her when he comes on the show. She, you know how it is. Guy's a former MMA fighter. He stay in shape, you know. But we're talking right now about the shape of the country. And I got to tell you, not pretty. It is not pretty. When you hear that Trump is being indicted, when you hear that we could be looking as early as Monday at, you know, the idea of an impeachment, I guess the official term they give, it's an inquisition, an impeachment. Dude, I want to give you this term right, because it's important. They make it sound like it matters more than it should. Oh, an inquiry. Thank you. An impeachment inquiry.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
I am a little slow today, but I got a lot going on. I'm stand-up comedy. I'm writing a book. We just announced new dates out in Montana. Friday night, October 27th, I am at the Helena Civic Center in Helena, Montana. That is going to be a banger. Saturday night, October the 28th, I will be at the Colonial Theater in Idaho Falls. Richard Meacham, the KID crew coming down for that. It's going to be a banger. And I really am going to be in bad shape that weekend, because I will have just finished a top secret high security clearance Fox project that you guys don't even know about. But knowing that it's in the books, I'll be, you know, you'll find me a different character there. We are going out and we are getting nuts. So if you can be anywhere near the Helena Civic Center, if you can anywhere near the Colonial Theater in Idaho Falls, I do want you at those gigs. Right now, thankfully, I have you right here on the radio. And one of the conversations we've been having since the show launched earlier today is the fact that Trump getting indicted does seem an awful lot like they're just criminalizing speech. It's a really bizarre thing. But what's fascinating is every resource is being deployed to try to pursue these charges at a time when there's just so many criminals walking free on the streets of America.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
I'm not saying you can't do both, but they're not actually doing both is the point. Joining us now, a guy can do it all. He's a senator, he's a husband, he's a dad, he's a semi-in-shape fighter. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from the great state of Oklahoma. Hey, man.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, good. Did you have to fight that guy yet? I mean, when the last time we left off, you had a local kind of challenge you to get into the ring. Where are we at on that one?
Well, he hasn't answered yet. You know, the guy threw out his ran his mouth. I hate to say it that way, but he told me anytime, anywhere, and I answered him, accepted the challenge, and he's just been quiet. I've been trying to figure out what my options are with him. It's interesting, though, because right after that happened, of course, it was all over the news, right? Mm-hmm. And Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook mm-hmm. texted me and said, hey, if you guys are going to fight, why don't Elon and I and you guys all fight on the same night? And I was like, man, that'd be perfect. We'd love to do that.
I love this. Here, I have a theory. I don't mean to put down your guy Zuckerberg. I'm sure he's sweet as pie. But I have a theory that the fight between him and Elon, because these guys are brilliant tech nerds. These are billionaires. They invented apps. I see that as an underwhelming fight. I see it as a nerd fight. From what you know of Zuckerberg, is he in fighting shape? Should Elon be scared?
You know, I don't know if you saw the picture of him recently. Mm-hmm. But the guy looked like he was in shape. And there's a big difference between Elon and him. I mean,
Elon's a fat pothead. Like, I don't see him in fighting shape. I mean, I don't doubt he could take out a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think there'd be enough people to be intrigued by it to watch it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But Zuckerberg did say, he says, why don't you come out and train with me if you were going to do this?
Whoa.
Which I find that pretty interesting, because he must be taking it very serious.
Yep.
If he's even asking me to come out there and train with him.
Wow. Either either that or he needs a tackling dummy.
Are you calling me a tackling dummy?
No, I'm just saying, for his kind of money, he could hire guys like us to tackle. He gives it, you know. He can afford human tackling dummies. He doesn't need fake ones. I mean, he's got that kind of cash, man.
Yeah, so. you're reading that one correct.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I'm totally for sale. No question.
We're talking to Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. We're having a chat about all things America, including his potential fight. There's a battle going on in Washington, basically the world against Donald Trump. The only question I want to ask you about that, we're not legal scholars, but it would seem weird to me that they're indicting Trump for anything related to January 6th now, if only because they could have did it a year ago or the year before that. Does the timing of this strike you as odd?
100%. I don't think anybody can think this isn't political. They've had more than enough time to go through this January 6th. And by the way, all these indictments that they're throwing at him, I mean, they're literally, as you would say, they're throwing everything at him, including the kitchen sink, to try to make something stick, because the numbers just – they don't lie. The numbers speak very clearly that if the race was today, Trump beats all his primary opponents by double digits, mm-hmm. and he beats Biden by 6 to 7 points, which is outside the margin of error.
Wow.
So they're very concerned, and the left should be very concerned for someone like Trump to get back in the office, because they have done so much to him. And they just wouldn't possibly leave him alone. You better believe that he's going to be going after all these individuals that's been going after him, not just because of a vendetta perspective, but from a perspective of, say, fair is fair. We're going to hold you accountable for everything that you hicked up wrong. and we're going to come at you for it. And he, and rightfully so. By the way, the Republicans should be doing that in the House. Fortunately, we have the House, and that's exactly what the, you know, from Chairman Smith, the Ways and Means with the whistleblowers, to what Jim Jordan is doing. It's been very, very insightful to see what is happening in the House in the investigation that's taking place. That, you know, darn good and well, Pelosi was still in office. That would have never taken place.
No, no chance. I mean, that's, you talk about an election really changing things. You know, it's a profound change in the House. I mean, most people just thought it was a win because they got you out of the House. But look at what else they did with this election.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Mark Wayne Mullen's on the line, Oklahoma senator. But you're right. It matters. And the truth is, we've definitely, at the very least, when it comes to the Biden thing, okay, we know we've been lied to. We've been lied to about the laptop being real. We've been lied to about him talking to the kid. Now we know we've been lied to about him talking to the kid's business partners. I was saying this earlier. If the witness lies to you about the first three or four things, he's probably not telling you the truth about the fifth thing, which is whether or not he made money.
Yeah, and they're true. But what's interesting, too, with the IRS agents and the whistleblowers just coming forth in front of Chairman Smith's committee in Ways and Means, which, by the way, not politically motivated at all. One of the guy who's unmasked himself, meaning that he doesn't require full whistleblower identity protection. He was very open to say that he doesn't lean towards Republicans at all. He's been living with his husband for 20 years, and he has tendencies to align with the Democrats in most issues. He's doing it because they weren't allowing him to do his job. But what's more interesting about this is how the direction has been given to Hunter Biden to find extra income by painting. Mm-hmm. It's something a lot of people joke about and say that, you know, how can he get, you know, over $1 million for a painting and hundreds of thousands of dollars for individual paintings. But it's that one thing that's hard to put a value on, because a painting is based on the value of the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. So there's no true evaluation the IRS can actually put on a product and say it was overpriced, like they can a vehicle or a piece of property or a business investment. Mm-hmm. A painting, art, it kind of is an island by itself. And there's been questions on how that came about and who gave him that. And if he was given specific instructions on doing this and guaranteed to be able to buy, which it seems like that could possibly be the next thing that could come out, then that's criminal in itself, too, because he was purposely at that point trying to avoid IRS laws, which he's obviously capable and has been able to do in the past. But it also shows criminal intent, which will be a lot farther back, because some of these paintings have been bought by foreign entities. Mm-hmm. So the layers that have been coming off of this Hunter Biden investigation, as I will repeat myself, would have never taken place if Speaker Pelosi was still Speaker and still in that office.
Nope.
It would have never happened if the Republicans wasn't in charge.
No. And, you know, I would have forgave Pelosi if she gave me some of those stock tips over the years, but I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you might have been in Mr. Pelosi's house to get those.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you're really willing to go down that road.
Yeah, that gets a little dicey, Mullen. That gets a little dicey, yeah. Senator. Listen, man, stay in shape. I don't think this guy wants to fight you, but Zuckerberg might if Elon backs down. You don't have to fight your buddy. Maybe he's setting you up. He might be setting you up. You know, sometimes a boxer cancels, but they've already booked the arena. You don't have to fight Zuck. So stay in shape, because it sounds like he's ready.
Well, I'm nowhere near fighting shape. I remind people the last time I competed was when I was 34, and that was in jiu-jitsu. The last time I fought was almost 15 years ago.
Whoa.
And 30 pounds ago. So, Toby Keith song that says, yeah, I'm as good once as I ever was.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's actually accurate.
Well, if you need to get some fights under your belt, you're welcome to come here and ride the subway. We get
all
you.
Right. Fair enough.
You get an express train. We can get 12, 13 fights under your belt by the time you get to 125th Street. love talking to you, man. Keep playing good ball out there,
all
okay?
Right. There. Hey, I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you.
See
Bye.
You soon. There he goes, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Okay, he had a little dust-up with one of the locals.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
But the guy hasn't gotten back to him about the whole fight. It was a local councilman who, you know, said he was running his mouth and... He challenged him to a fight. It was great, which you're not supposed to do.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
But isn't it funny that a guy like Mark Wayne Mullen, who comes on here and tells dirty jokes and makes fun of the Pelosis, is hanging out with Mark Zuckerberg, like the gajillionaire guy who owns Facebook? I mean, it's a robot. It's AI. It's not actually a person. They plug it in. But the point is still fascinating that that piece of AI, the most realistic one we've seen so far, hangs out with somebody who jumps on the show all the time. But that's what makes this thing work. It's like a regular dude like me with access to all these other wild people. And folks like you get to hear the human side of them. That's the point. It's like when you really think about politics, if you thought about it independently of parties, you just thought about it as people. Okay, I do think you'd want to probably hang out with the Republicans. Like at this point, that doesn't mean it can't change. Like, there were some boring Republicans out there. It's a pretty boring party in the 90s. You weren't like, yeah, let's get these guys over to the party. They're having a good time, you know? But the young people who come on, like the Byron Donalds of the world, the Kat Kamiks of the world, like, you'd want to go hang out with them. Mullen, you'd want to hang out with a guy, you know, because they're actually like fun, good timey people. The Democrats, you invite them over, you get in trouble for cultural appropriation because you're serving guacamole. You're like, what just happened? Wait, why? Why am I in trouble, AOC?
AOC is a dope.
Maybe so. But that's the biggest problem with like the grievance crowd, the outrage mob. Cancel culture, they used to call them, is when you incentivize victimhood, when you celebrate the victim. Something bad happened to me. Give me something. When that becomes a production model, it calibrates people to seek offense. You get out of bed seeking offense in places you might otherwise find joy. Like, you used to go to comedy clubs, everybody was there to laugh. Now you'll find a guy every once in a while who's actually there hoping to get offended, hoping to videotape you telling an off-color joke, hoping to get you in trouble. There's clout that comes from victimhood. But the problem is it forces people to rewire their brains. And instead of like, hey, where are we going to have some fun tonight? It's like, hey, who are we going to ruin? What can bother us today? And it's a terrible way to go through life. It's created like a hostage situation. It's a war on fun, damn it. And we're not going to let them win it here. Bottom line, that's what we do. Okay, this show sounds like we get paid in Tide Pods and cheap tequila because we pretty much do. And that's all we're going to continue to do when we come back after this on the big, bad, one and only Fox Across America.
This thing is going to become gargantuan when the Son of Man comes.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America. Your radio buddy Jimmy Failla taking this thing in for a landing. I am on TV tonight, 6 p.m. hour, on The Bottom Line with Dagan McDowell and Sean Duffy. Tomorrow, batting leadoff on the channel. You'll see me on Fox and Friends first, bright and early in the 5 a.m. hour. And then tomorrow night, I'll be on with Sean Hannity in front of a live studio audience in the 9 p.m. hour. Going the distance tomorrow. One of them 16-hour days of TV and radio and book writing and human trafficking and everything else in between. The rent don't pay itself, girlfriend. But the one thing I will tell you as I've been watching this news cycle evolve this week is we're in a crazy pocket in America right now. Do you know when, you know, the animals know the weather? Like all of a sudden, like the... You live in a shore town and all of a sudden the cats start going inside and you're like,
that can't be good.
Okay. The cats are going inside in America right now. There's a really weird vibe in the air. COVID kind of broke people a little bit. You know, this relentless fight for power in Washington is certainly polluting, you know, relationships, and our discourse has gotten disgusting. We're now prosecuting political opponents. You've got, you know, corruption up to the eyes in the Biden family. Who knows where it heads? But we've certainly seen his lies, okay, proven as such on a repeated basis now. Like, Biden is a real credibility problem. People say the issue is that his elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. Now, I'll tell you with a straight face, that is true.
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
I don't think you can. Okay, I think you objectively look at him and say to yourself,
this man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
But that being said, it's the corruption, the potential corruption anyway, that becomes the larger liability for us as a country. You know, if you've got a guy with whose elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor, okay, other people kind of run the government. And that's essentially what they've been doing in this president, in this presidency. I tell you this all the time. Joe Biden is not in charge. He is the elderly relative with dietary restrictions. He goes out to the dinner and he orders the lasagna. I'll have the lasagna. And before the waiter can walk away, another younger relative grabs the waiter and is like, he can't have cheese. Bring him the chicken. He won't know the difference. Sure enough, they bring him the chicken 20 minutes later. And he's like, God, thank God I ordered the chicken. I love the chicken. I'm telling you, this is a good call by me to get the chicken.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
But the recipe here with a political opponent now under indictment three times, a former president of the United States attempting to become the second president since Grover Cleveland to serve two non-concurrent terms, this is weird stuff. Just the same as on the Democratic side of the aisle, we've never had an incumbent president in his late hundreds. Like Joe Biden and the Democrats are supposed to be the party of the youth. Dude, I've met Joe Biden twice. I've seen younger faces on money. Just saying, it's silly season in the United States of America. And if you care about the place, you want to help the place, you want to help yourself, just be cool. We had this remedy we used to use in the 80s and 90s. It was called chill the out. That's what it was. Let's do a little bit of that tonight. Make some food, have a drink, watch a ball game. Check me out on Fox Business. I don't care. Just go live your best life. You're in America. You've hit the lottery. You have United States privilege.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.